Hello, everyone. I'm Amanda Balbi, Managing Editor at Consultant360.com. Rheumatoid arthritis affects nearly 1.5 million people in the United States, according to the Arthritis Foundation. Magnetic resonance imaging provides a way to detect structural damage earlier than radiography and is more sensitive in detecting intra-articular inflammation than clinical examination. A study conducted to better predict changes in joint damage was recently published in Annals of Rheumatic Diseases. Lead author, Dr. Charles Peterfee from Spire Sciences in Boca Raton, Florida, is here with us to explain his study and the results. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Peterfee.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
So to start, can you tell us a little bit more about your study?
Sure. The focus of the study was really clinical trials in rheumatoid arthritis and the role of imaging in that process, but the results are generalizable, I think, and also have implications of clinical practice, which we can talk about later. Up to the present day, to gain regulatory approval for a structure-modifying treatment for rheumatoid arthritis, the one that actually halts the progression of bone erosion and cartilage loss, one had to conduct rigorous longitudinal randomized controlled clinical trials using X-ray radiography that then were measured centrally by expert radiologists using a specialized method called sharp scoring. And over the past 20 years, we've been very successful in bringing some actually effective structure modifying treatments for rheumatoid arthritis into the clinic. And this has been a real breakthrough for the disease, considering that just 20 years ago, there was essentially nothing for these patients that worked, and a majority of patients with RA faced a rather bleak future of unremitting pain and ultimately disability. And so now we have these treatments, but despite the successes, there is still an unmet need in rheumatoid arthritis, and more work is needed because a majority of patients still don't respond fully. And there's still some toxicity issues and some practical limitations that require further development. Also, and maybe a little counterintuitively initially, the very success of this biologics revolution has introduced some new challenges to drug development, and some of which really threaten further progress quite dramatically. The most important of these is that with the availability of truly efficacious structure-modifying treatments for RA now, it's become unethical to withhold active treatment for prolonged periods of time simply to constitute a placebo arm in a clinical trial. In fact, the most recent guidance by the FDA stipulates a limit of only 3 months, after which patients with active symptoms have to receive active treatment or be withdrawn from the study. The problem with this is that X-ray radiography cannot reliably demonstrate treatment efficacy in only 3 months. Typically, you need 6 months to a year to do that. So this is a real problem, particularly since FDA and EMA in Europe currently accept only X-ray data for regulatory approval of structure-modifying claims. Now, the good news is, as you mentioned, there's a potential solution to this, as magnetic resonance imaging has been shown to be more sensitive in detecting joint damage than X-ray is. And to be able to demonstrate suppression of joint damage in clinical trials in only 3 months. So that's the timeline that limited placebo treatment by the FDA. Additionally, unlike X-ray, MRI is also able to visualize the upstream inflammatory drivers of joint destruction, namely synovitis and osteitis. And in multiple randomized controlled clinical trials of RA, MRI not only was able to demonstrate the inhibition of joint damage in only 12 weeks, as I mentioned, but suppression of inflammation in only 2 weeks. And it's able to do that using less than half the number of patients typically required to show efficacy with X-ray in clinical trials in 24 to 52 weeks. So MRI really offers a potential solution to the ethical and practical dilemmas that I mentioned earlier. And many of us feel that these regulations now should be revised and allow MRI for this purpose. So a recent report by the Imaging Subcommittee of the American College of Rheumatology Clinical Trials Task Force, of which I was a member, concluded that, and this is a quote from the report, among the currently available imaging modalities that have been validated with supportive data, MRI best serves the purpose of achieving sensitive ascertainment of structural damage in our randomized controlled trials, while also providing objective measures of inflammation predictors of damage. So that's the ACR's position on the matter. And the report also proposed analyzing recently completed randomized controlled trial data that included both MRI and X-ray assessments to evaluate the predictive validity of MRI. So that's what we, the members of that task force, did ultimately. We pooled data from four reported randomized controlled trials of three putative new treatments for rheumatoid arthritis. That included both X-ray and MRI for a total of 1,022 hands and wrists of patients with active RA despite treatment with current therapies. And we examined the ability of the baseline and term changes on MRI scores for bone erosion, osteitis, inflammation in the bones, and synovitis over 3 months and 6 months time frames to predict subsequent progression of joint damage on X-ray over 6 months and 12 months, respectively. So do 3 month changes on MRI predict 6 month changes on X-ray, and do 6 month changes on MRI predict 12 month changes on X-ray, were the questions posed. And to do this, we used multivariate logistic regression analysis, and we expressed the results in receiver operating characteristic curves, or ROC curves, in which the areas under those curves quantify the discriminative power of MRI to predict X-ray. Without going into numbers, what we found was that indeed short-term changes in bone erosion, synovitis, and particularly osteitis were predictive of subsequent bone erosion and joint space narrowing on X-ray. And the results were actually similar to findings reported by a different group based on data from one of the four studies that were included in this investigation. So the study corroborated those results, and it showed them actually to be generalizable to other studies by pooling data from multiple trials.
And what do the results of your study mean for primary care providers?
With respect to patient management, these results, combined with those from numerous other studies, show that MRI can identify earlier those patients with RA who have the erosive phenotype of the disease, and for who, therefore, intensive treatment is really warranted before those destructive changes become visible on X-ray. Earlier treatment of these patients will help limit or prevent irreversible joint damage and the risk of disability, which is otherwise, as you mentioned, extremely high. Additionally, by objectively detecting inadequate therapeutic response earlier with MRI, ineffective treatments can be adjusted or replaced sooner, and longer-term outcomes improve that way. As I mentioned, several studies have shown MRI to be able to discriminate objectively changes in synovitis and osteitis within only 2 weeks of initiating therapy, at a time when placebo responses from patients are extremely high and can confound clinicians' efforts to determine the effectiveness of their treatment. So clinical evaluations alone can be unreliable. And in fact, studies have shown that a high percentage of patients, 10 to 20% of those in clinical remission, depending on how you measure that, continue to progress structurally on X-ray and MRI, and that those who do show persistent synovitis or osteitis on MRI or ultrasound. So with all of that, there are many of us who feel that imaging should be included in the criteria for remission today and be incorporated into treat-to-target management strategies for the disease.
And what does your study mean for the future of RA treatments?
Our hope, along with that of many others working in the field, is that these results, combined with other supportive data that's been accumulating in the literature now for over 20 years, will finally result in regulatory authorities in the U.S. and Europe changing their guidance documents to endorse MRI as an acceptable imaging modality in RA clinical trials, particularly in phase 3 pivotal trials. We believe that doing so will allow clinical trials to evaluate treatment efficacy in far less time and with fewer patients than is possible currently with X-ray, and that this will lower the cost and speed up the pace of drug development in RA, which, as I mentioned earlier, is still very much needed and currently facing some serious ethical and logistical challenges.
And you had mentioned this a little bit earlier, but are there any gaps in RA treatment today? And if so, what other research is necessary?
Well, there's still a majority of RA patients who do not achieve the level of control they desire or who can't tolerate the treatment for one reason or another, as I mentioned. Many patients go from one biologic to another without adequate response, and for these patients, the likelihood of responding to the next treatment option decreases with each try, just statistically. So there's a need for new treatments that operate through different mechanisms of action and those currently on the market, and also for options that carry less risk of side effects and that offer more convenient and less costly methods of administration, particularly more oral treatments. We also need, and this is important, I think, more data on the real-world performance of these treatments. Carefully controlled clinical trials offer great internal validity because they're so carefully controlled, et cetera, but they lack external validity precisely for that reason, in that they don't fully replicate conditions in actual clinical practice, including commonly used comparator interventions and clinically relevant patient subgroups. Data from clinical trials, therefore, still leave big uncertainties as to how these new therapies perform in the, quote, real world. Current recommendations for managing RA, for example, based on data from clinical trials and existing registries, still refer mostly to homogeneous disease populations, you know, aside from a few poorly defined prognostic factors, and they don't assist in choosing and optimally sequencing available biologic DMARDs as disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. Rheumatologists, therefore, are left with little or no idea of how to approach individual patients with these therapies, and these uncertainties are likely to increase as biosimilars now and targeted synthetic DMARDs enter the market. Recently, actually, the regulators have increased the pressure on drug developers to provide better post-market data and post-market commitments. And the recently approved 21st Century Cures Act reinforced that by requiring FDA to develop a framework and guidance for incorporating real-world evidence into the approvals process for new indications for previously approved drugs. Now, in response to this increased demand, we've seen a proliferation of registries in the U.S. and Europe. However, the specialized imaging analysis methods that I mentioned earlier used in clinical trials for structure-modifying treatments, namely the SHARP score for X-ray and RAMRIS, or the RA-MRI score for MRI, are not available in the clinic. In fact, only a handful of people in the world know how to and have actually performed these at all, and I can tell you as one of those who does, they're not easy to do. So existing registries do not contain this information, nor will they anytime soon. So this is another important unmet need that will have to be addressed for us to move forward, these new types of registries that include the proper kind of imaging data that would be needed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Dr. Peterfee.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
To read more about Dr. Peterfee's study, please click the link below.